And if you both under house arrest, and we'll report you on the next thing. Why didn't he want pictures taken? They didn't want pictures taken of what they were doing. The column moved on, and by noon, 10,000 men, women, and children were crushed neck to neck under a blazing sun and ringed by Congo army troops armed with Tommy guns. To protect them from the sicker, happy Congo army, there were white head bandages around 10,000 heads. Around 10,000 heads. Well, this is a black and white city. Think about it. Anyone without the bandage is shot. The bandage distinguishes those already screened or about to be given the treatment. And there are mounds of dead bodies everywhere to indicate those found wanted. Meaning any Congolese without the bandage around his head was shot on sight indiscriminately. And this is being written by a white reporter who is not pro-Congolese at all. He is just telling the story as it actually is. Mass murder, wholesale murder of black people by white people who are using some black mercenaries to also do it. Third, Southern Commando Pet Nigger. This is a little black goat. They had a little black, this white mercenary had a little black goat that he named Nigger. Which is the way they do. Anything black they name it. They name you Nigger, didn't they? Sure. Well, I see one coming right now. Here comes my nigger. Dick Gregory. Hey, Dick. Come on up here. Come on up here. Come on up here, Dick. Come on up here, Dick. We're going to get Dick investigated. I heard Dick on the Les Green show the other night talking about niggas. Say, Dick, look what he said there. All right, here's my man. Y'all take a good look at him. Come on, I'm going to get him investigated. Get him, brother. Don't let him get away. He's going to lose all his jobs now. He won't get another booking. You'll have to work in Harlem the rest of your life. I'm a coach for him. So look what he said. Today, two starving dogs seized the commando's pet nigger, a little black kid goat. When we got there, the nigger was dying. And John Peters shot him, and he turned away with tears in his eyes. Here's a white mercenary that had been killing so many Congolese, they had to strap him up. With no compassion at all, he shot him down. But as soon as this little black goat that was bitten by some dogs, he cried. He had more feelings. This is a white man, an Englishman. Had more feelings in his heart for a dead goat that was black than he had for all those facts of Congolese who look just like you and me and Big Brother. So I say, brothers and sisters, that it's not a case of worrying about what's going on in Africa before we get things laid over there, but it's a case of realizing that the Afro-American problem is not a Negro problem or an American problem, but it's a human problem, the problem for humanity. And when you realize, when you look at your and my problem in the context of the entire world, and see that it is a world problem, and that there are other people on this earth who look just like we do, who also have the same problem, then you and I become allies, and we can put forth our efforts in a way to get the best results. Now, many of you, earlier, Dick, I told him that a friend of mine from Africa, who was a real dyed-in-the-wool proven revolutionary, was on his way here. And when you walked in, they thought I was talking about you. Well, Dick is. I mean, that's what I was talking about. But Dick is a revolutionary. And Dick is dyed in the wool African. He don't want to be, but he is. I don't mean dyed in the wool. I mean African. But Dick is one of the foremost freedom fighters in this country. I think, yes. I say that in all sincerity. Dick has been on the battlefront and probably has made a greater sacrifice in that by taking the stand that he has, I'm quite certain that it has alienated many of the people who weren't alienated from him before he began to take this stand. And whenever you see a person, a celebrity who is as widely known as you, and who is as skilled in his profession as this, and at the same time has access to almost unlimited bookings, which provides unlimited income, and he will jeopardize all of that in order to jump into the front lines of the battle, then you and I have to stand behind him. And yes. And I want Dick also to hear our brother who's coming, so before he gets here, I think Dick better talk to him. Come on, Dick. Dick Gregory! He's without the cigarette.
Yeah, I'd like to say thanks very much, Brother Malcolm, and I'd like for you to know one thing. He will be too right to be called when he hears.
I don't play that.
It sure is a pleasure being here. It sure is nice having you back home. You and Tyler, when you made the cover of the Saturday Evening Post,
I'm fighting out, man.
They had a picture of you in a loop suit. Underneath the picture, I guess they were explaining it to white folks. Because it said Duke suit and red car. I know they didn't have to explain that to us. But sure, it's nice having you back. And, we got to blame you, so you have to take care of before you leave again. You know, we had four rides here while you were gone. So I want you to be around here to be going to Christmas night. Just got a little bit beside himself, maybe. Because now, what people said about the FBI is true and true. If you don't believe me, follow me down to Mississippi next time. Well, I remember one day we were trapped in the alley with the Ku Klux Klan on one end and the FBI on the other, and we flipped the car and decided which way we was going to go. I really don't feel sorry for colored folks with the FBI. I feel sorry for white folks with the FBI. Because if the FBI, what it's doing, is they really coming off to be white folks in trouble. I mean, when you stop and think about all them old racial killings, it's about the easiest thing to solve in the world, because there wasn't too much planning put into it, a lot of impulse. So sentiment into that plan 7 years. Just to get the card in on you, to be you. So you can see what they might could scheme up and do something to get away with. One of them rednecks down there is going to kill somebody, and the number one law enforcement agency in the world, in 9 months, have found out who did it and what happened, then if them idiots can trick them that much, I wonder what the espionage boys are getting away with. And then Hoover came out the other day and he announced that The FBI has started infiltrating the Ku Klux Klan. And I'll be honest with you, I don't mind my tax money going for missiles, but I'm damned if I don't want to buy some keys. And when Hoover said he got his FBI agents infiltrating the Ku Klux Klan, all that really meant to me is he's paying them back, because the Ku Klux Klan had already infiltrated the FBI. You know, I really hate to, you talking about you might get me investigated. I really hate to put down the whole FBI, but Jesse Hoover is the FBI. And I have never trusted the FBI. I don't trust Hoover for a whole lot of reasons. Yeah. One of them is 47 years old and never been married. I couldn't trust him.
Keep on going.
So we And tell that FBI agent back there in the back to come on in and have a seat. Yeah, he's one.
Upstairs, west, if you check one.
So anyway, let me finish telling you about the FBI. If the FBI ever tapped your phone like they tapped mine, see, they didn't know, they were just wasted. See, the FBI wasn't used to tapping them colored folks' phones. Yeah, they came in with $10,000 worth of equipment to seize up so they could tap my phone, and 2 days after they sent all that equipment up, my phone got cut off. Same thing happened to you without the tap. So anyway, you know, I mean, I feel now, well, I don't even want to talk about fooling no more. I've seen his telegrams every now and then, calling dirty names. You see, when the FBI tap your phone like they tap mine, you want to have some fun. You see, they don't know I know. But can you imagine how much fun I can have with them when they got my phone tapped and they don't know I know they tapped it? I have a ball. Yeah, and I mean, they tapped it, too. Yeah, you know how I know they tapped it? I got so FBI agents and got so lazy just tapping my phone, getting my numbers that I put in. Numbers in and went home and prayed, and nothing happened. Oh, that makes me mad. I played my area code the other day and my zip code hit. I was so mad. But anyway, dude, let me tell you what I do to the FBI. Again, I know and they don't know. A couple of weeks ago, I flew into Chicago and called my wife from the airport. I said, "Hey, baby, just got in town. I want you to meet me downtown Stacy Madison in about 2 hours and get the brown box and put the stuff in it." No, that doesn't tell nothing. Once I was so nervous and had to be calling to Miss Grace what that brown box looked like. And we told, sure enough, 2 hours later she met me downtown. I said, "Honey, don't look back, but the agents are sitting in the car, and they bug me and fix the brown box on the ground. And they pull on them Hollywood switches. They picked up my box and left me their box." And I didn't make anything any worse. When we walked off, we didn't pick up the box they left for. And I know they were anxious to skip that box back to James Hoover so they could get a heavy case against me. And I know Hoover was upset when he opened up that box. Because there wasn't nothing in it but some dirty drawers. Knocked on the door. I walked the door and said, "Who is it?" He said, "Police department." I said, "The whole department?" He said, "No, it's just two of us." I said, "Why do you say it was just two?" So I put my little night latch on and opened the door about that much. I said, "What do you want?" "Do we have a search warrant to search your house?" I looked at him and said, "Well, how do I know you the real police?" Oh, that upset. I said, "If you don't open up this door, we're going to kick the door in." I said, "Yeah, I just wouldn't talk. Then you do this for me." But I got news for you. You can't see nothing through this little crack but my left hand. You don't know what I got in my right hand. Oh, he understood what I was talking about. The little one said, I thought you were supposed to be nonviolent. I said, I am nonviolent, but it's regional, baby. Well, I'm nonviolent, baby. Georgia, Alabama, and Mississippi. I asked Captain out down in jail in Mississippi on the sheriff walked up to me. He said, come here, nigga. And I said, yes, sir. He said, what would happen to me if I called you nigga and the car go? He could tell the way I was looking at him, he'd get hurt. And he's standing there with his gun out trying to make me mad. He said, well, I don't understand you. I can call you nigga down here and nothing happened. I call you nigga in Chicago and you'll get mad. Why? I told him simple. You call me nigga down here in Mississippi, that's my maiden name. If you ever call me nigga in Chicago, you find out we got married. I don't know if they're the real police. Then he comes up with the bright idea. Well, why don't you call the precinct? Check us out. I said, what precinct? The 46th precinct. That's where he made 30 states. Well, he made 50 states. How you going to tell me 46th precinct and didn't make Chicago? I can't do it. That you were Chicago cop. You felt that you supposed to be anyway. Well, I got on the phone and called New York City, 46th Precinct. I said, Captain Bell in New York, 46th Precinct. I said, Captain Bell, I'm Big Gregory, two officers. As I was here from your precinct, checking me out. The first one, he checked his books and let me know if they were legitimate police. And naturally, he didn't find no record. He said, no, we have no record of this. So I said, well, thank you very much. Appreciate it. And I hung up and called the FBI. Now, I didn't tell the FBI that I called New York. That yeah, and on the Federal Bureau of Investigation, I said, you the FBI? They didn't like what you called them that. He said, yes. I said, I have two officers out here, told you from 46th Precinct, and I called the 46th Precinct, and they have no record of it. So that means the two guys who first made law enforcement officers, which means that's a felony crime. Would you please send two Mr. FBI agents out here and check them out for me? He said, right away. When the FBI said they sent somebody to my house right away, they mean right away. But chances are, the man out in the bushes watching already, you know. So now I'll ask you now to go back to the door and stall this cat. Just say it's time to get there. And I did. I walked back and I told him, I said, look, man, I just saw New York City. Didn't like him. So I just saw New York City and he never heard of you. So I said, Chicago, you idiot. I said, don't call me no idiot until you see my right hand now. So I went back and I called Chicago 46th Precinct. The guy got real upset. You mean you haven't let him in yet? I said, cool it, baby. I'm just trying to check him out. Just tell me one thing. These two cops you sent by my house, are they white or colored? He said, what do they look like to you? I'm not buying them with me. I know. Hell, I know what they are. So, thank you very much. While I'm on the phone, now I hear the FBI coming up the stairway. So I run up to the cop and I say, okay, buddy, you're real police, but it is my legitimate right to read your search warrant before I let you in. And the cop says, flip it through the door, and sure enough, it says they were looking for a little brown box that might contain narcotics. So I went down the little brown box and flipped it through the little crack. I said, nah, you can't come in my house because what you're looking for you have out there. And you never fooled you got out my house because I fooled you never been in here. Oh, they raised me up talking about kicking the door down. And just about that time, the two FBI agents walked up and said, "Can we help you, Mr. Gregory?" I said, "Yeah, them two cops out there trying to sell me some dope." But I'm Baptist, you know, that's old mother. And I was trying to call my wife and ended up dialing the wrong number and ended up with the United States Weather Bureau. That's the United States Weather Department. I know how busy these guests are this time of year. I tried to apologize. I said, "I'm Dick Gregory." And before I could apologize, he said, "Dick Gregory, that's the guest." He said, "Well, what you calling us for? We report the weather fair." And you know, that really made me mad. I said, "Just for that, we're going to demonstrate against you." The guy said, "How in the world are you going to demonstrate against the Weather Bureau?" I said, "Temple, out of all the tornadoes we've had this year and all the hurricanes we've had this year, you have yet to name one of them something colored." So the next hurricane that we have, and you don't name Hurricane Bueller, you're in trouble, baby. All I can say is so much going on. I mean, I read so much in the paper, I just don't know if I'm going to. And I never been so upset in my life when I picked up the paper and read, "Well, Red China exploded a nuclear bomb," and our State Department said, "Don't worry about it, it's primitive." I sent him a telegram. I said, "What do you mean? What are you talking about Red China's nuclear blast is primitive and you worried about my switchblade?" Fool. They sent me a telegram back trying to explain it. "We felt that the nuclear blast rate blasted off was primitive because it would take them 25 years to develop a vehicle to deliver it over here." And I sent them a telegram right back. I said, "Baby, do you realize the Red Chinese have something like 688 million folks and they can hand carry that damn bug over here?" If them cats ever start singing, "We Shall Overcome," they're going to do it. And do you realize they got more census takers than we got people? We talking about fighting Red China. Do you realize that 688 million of them cats is right down underneath us now? On the other, do you know they're right down there? Wouldn't it be wild if all of them got high tomorrow and stopped and put at the same time? Well, I sure wish we had 688 million Negroes in Mississippi. Be some changes made there in the morning, wouldn't it? Martin Luther King and each other. Malcolm X and police. And the FBI wouldn't be allowed in the old state. I was at the Republicans' convention. What do you call when something's Republican convention? Well, you miss Barry Goldwater, he'll be on television next Wednesday night. Don't miss him. He's on from 8 to 7:30. And he's coming on to explain what happened, you know. I talked to Goldwater before the election, and I told him, I said, "You better get up off these telephone backwards. You don't know how many of them he is. You've got to think this X amount of us." I tried to tell him, I said, "You realize we got some buildings in all of that so many Negroes live in each building got their own man?" He didn't believe me, but he found out the hard way. And now he's talking about he's won five Southern. He didn't win no five Southern states. The only reason he won in five Southern states is because the brother couldn't vote. So actually, he won really legitimate one state. He almost lost that, which was his own state. And that really would have been as bad if he couldn't have carried his own home state. That would be like the Pope can't carry Rome. So I say all that to say that we have so many problems, but Goldwater out there at the convention, his acceptance speech, he heard about the acceptance around the world. It was a very effective acceptance speech. Matter of fact, the speech was so effective that there were 12 mountains came out of high. But the one part that shook up everybody was Goldwater said, extremism in defense of liberty is no fight. Remember that? And 2 days after he said that, y'all cried at me in Harlem. He got shot at. But everybody called it looting and riding. You didn't hear what they called it here, riding, looting. I didn't call what happened to me in Harlem rides or looting. I called it a moonlight skirmish. You see, I had to call it that for simple reasons. You see, last year when I was down in Birmingham, remember when we marched in Birmingham, chopped the hell out of them? And they call that a demonstration, remember that? This year y'all marched in Harlem and beat the hell out of a couple of cops, that's a ride. Now you figure it out. And then you see the great picture that came out of Harlem and went all over the world, the Negro standing there with the Coke bottle and the cops standing next to him with the beluga. And Martin Luther King standing in the middle saying, "Fool it, baby, we win." I found out later, talking to that cop. Hey, look, I have a plane I have to get out of here, and I wish I had more time, but it sure is a beautiful crowd you have here, and I couldn't think of a better way to welcome home to Boston. Well, you Boston know that, don't you? Everything's going to be all right. I just want to know before I quit. Oh, you know, you told me someone made Christmas this year and you decided to. Hey, we'd like to say, thank you so much for... Oh, wait a minute, wait, hold it, hold it. I can remind you about my new book on the market, Nigga. That's, please don't act like you never heard the word. Dedicated the book to my mother, dedicated to me. Dear Mom, wherever you are, if ever you hear the word nigga again, remember to get advertised in my book. See, the good thing about the book being out now is when I go back into the deep south, usually when I go into Mississippi, those jazz grab it, always say, "How you doing, nigga?" Now when I go down there, he grabs me, "How you doing, nigga?" I tell him, "Nigga doing pretty good." $49,000 copies worth of good. And I'll be honest with you, the height of my ambition is to put a nigga in everybody's home. At $4.95 per nigga. Now I want to tell you other folks something before I quit. When you go to the bookstore to order the book, don't be embarrassed. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about? Don't be embarrassed. I mean, don't be walking in the bookstore creeping up to the clerk talking about, "Hey, you wonder what was on." Nobody ever called you know what was on it. Matter of fact, be proud of the book. Matter of fact, when you walk into the bookstore, don't even go inside the door. Just stand out on the sidewalk with your money in your hand and call and say, "Hey, bring me a couple of them niggas out here." That Christmas is just a couple of weeks off, and a couple of niggas don't look good on the street.